Hey, this is Jitterbug.
And Nerves.
From Talkin' Ship, and we are proud to announce another episode of Game Lounge.
Come on in.
Welcome, welcome. Come on into the Game Lounge. It's episode number 27, and I am the Fisherman.
And I am the Farva.
Oh, Farva. Hey, how was your Thanksgiving, man? I know you had to do it a day early because of work. How was it, though?
It was not a bad day altogether.
Yeah.
We had a good Thanksgiving. Our Thanksgiving was the Wednesday. So we had a good family Thanksgiving. The Thursday, I had to work 16 hours. But because it was the holiday, all the docks were gone. So it was pretty much just hanging out, watching football, and getting paid for it, and making time and a half at that. So
nice.
No real complaints.
No, that's not a bad way to go. I had an interesting weekend. We did all Thanksgiving stuff, but Jamie got in a car wreck over the weekend.
I jacked my Mustang up yesterday.
Did you?
I did. Yeah, the whole rear end of it completely smashed in. My brand new 2010 Ford Mustang that I've had for less than 2 months.
Bitch.
Rear end is completely smashed in.
That sucks. What happened to you?
Yeah.
Did you get plowed into by some asshole?
No, worse.
I
backed out and was backing to the left, and another guy was behind me in three spaces over, and he backed out into the left, and just where we were, and like we both had our hands on the headrest behind us. We were looking behind us,
yeah.
But just the way we angled, we were literally in each other's blind spots and just careened right into each other.
That's crazy.
And he got a little paint off the corner of his bumper, a mid-90s like Honda SUV.
There you go.
So it just went right through the middle of my car and just.
Yeah, you had no chance.
Destroyed it. So, yeah.
Yeah, she had a blind spot issue, too. She was, let me paint you a picture. She was on an interstate out here in Washington.
Okay.
And in the left lane, now, in Washington and a lot of other states, but not every state, there's a HOV lane, which is the high occupancy vehicle lane, which is for carpools, two-person vehicles or more. And that's the only people that can use that lane. So she's in the left single-person lane, one away from the HOV lane, and there's a guy in the middle lane who comes in on her and doesn't check his blind spot, just comes in, and so she swerved and it was rainy. She swerved into the HOV, lost control, fishtailed it, and did a 180 across the entire interstate, across all lanes of it, and ended up facing the opposite direction when she hit a median. For an exit on the right, and so her car's toast, man. Her car toast. I mean, it doesn't look that bad, but the frame is all bent to shit, so it's over for that car. But I mean, that was like the focal point of the weekend. She was going to work, and then all of a sudden this happened, and there was a lot of traffic. I am shocked.
The worst thing about that is the guy whose fault that is.
Yeah.
I'm guessing it was probably a woman driver. Honestly,
yeah, it could be.
But yeah. No consequences whatsoever.
No, he just kept on going, whoever it was.
Oh, of course.
He just kept on rolling. No, nobody stopped. And it was like, I got there, because she called me. I got there, and I looked at the car, and it was already up on the tow. And I looked at the car, and I looked at the side of the car, and I was like, that. I looked like anything happened at all. It's because I was looking at the wrong side of the car. They had turned it around and put it up on the tow. I was like, it hit the wheels on the, and then I looked at the other side, and it was just all bent and mangled to shit, and I was like, oh my god, what the fuck happened here?
Yeah.
So then you
took her home and had recovery sex. That's what you do after an accident. I've seen Crash. I know how this works.
I can't let you fall asleep. Or is that a concussion? Is that a concussion or is that a
car
crash?
You know what? No. Yeah. Hey, it doesn't matter. Either way, that's a sound medical advice.
Nice. So that was our weekends, and the other big event of the weekend of the last week. So I got this email last week from the guys, and they were like, look, we wanted to let you guys know first. We can't do the Talking Ship stuff anymore. We can't do that. We can't be as involved as we have been. Basically, they can't do the weekly podcast anymore. Jitterbug and Nerves have had things come up in their lives where they're just not able to do it anymore. These things happen when it comes to podcasts. My first reaction when I saw it was, oh shit. And they were like, well, you know, we want you to sort of carry the torch. And I was like, what? That's No way am I going to do that shit. Are you kidding me? And then I just started thinking about it, and it was like, you know what? If it's either let it completely fall by the wayside or have me head it up, and immediately when I thought Farva, well, was like, well, there, I can't do it without Farva. I mean,
which is adorable and lets you know who the leader is, because I never got this email at all. They didn't even bother with me. They're like, we're going to send it to the guy in charge. Let him make all the stately decisions.
Right. Well, it was a blessing and it was an honor to be that guy for those guys. But at the same time, it was like, that's a lot of pressure. But I was like, I can't do this without my man Farva. But I mean, if I wanted to do it in the first place, then it was this hard thing. Like, do we want to do this? Do we really want to take on the mantle of the flagship? I mean, I know I had a hard time really figuring out if I wanted to do this.
Yeah, I did too. Yeah. And, the reason for it for me is more because people, I mean, that's a bigger show than us by far. Mm-hmm. And people listen in for those too, for their sense of humor, for their jokes, for their bits, that whole thing. And for us to pass it off, we have one, for them to pass it off to us in this manner is basically, okay, we're done, you come in. Now, do we try and run it like they did, or do we make it our own? I mean, because we could, if we change the show and kind of make it more towards who we are and what we do, people would be like, ah, fuck that, I don't like the changes.
Right.
Or if we try and keep it the same and do it exactly like them, and people are like, well, they're trying too hard to be like them, but they're not like them, so yeah, they suck. Fuck it. I hate them. And I'm like, for such a narcissist, I really don't like the thought of people not liking me.
Yeah.
And so this is really like shaking who I am to the core.
Yeah. And the success of the flagship is so predicated as much, if not more so, on the personalities and charisma and chemistry between Jitterbug and Nerves. The ship was built on their personalities. You know, they have a format that they stick to. They do the movies, the music, the news from the mainland, and the Davy Jones locker, all that stuff. And that's the format. And the format's great. It's all this stuff that our audience cares about: movies, music, mm-hmm. beer, you know, funny shit, crazy deaths, all this funny shit that happens, and all the interesting stuff to us, and video games, which is now sort of more of our domain than anything else.
Correct.
But the format aside, this is based on their personalities, which Farva and I can bring our own to, but we cannot replicate. But
no.
But for me, Farva, it came down to, and it's a lot of pressure. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I am nervous as hell as taking over that show. For me, it came down to, hey, if we don't do this,
it might just go away. I'm not going to let it go away, because I do. I love the Talking Ship community.
Yeah.
Like, my whole friends list is pretty much made up of listeners.
Exactly.
And they're all, every one of them is fantastic. And I've gamed with most everyone on there fairly regularly. And since this gaming is my hobby and those are the people I intend to interact with most, I mean, it's just a great bunch of people. I'm not going to let it go.
Yeah, and that was sort of the let me. I know we're not at like the shout outs and Gamer Night announcements section of the show yet, but let me just give a shout out to the Krubies, because it was tough news to hear. It was tough news for me to hear first, and I knew this is how it was going to play out. I knew it was going to be tough for everybody else to hear. Like, it was going to be like, are you fucking serious? That's ridiculous. But it happens, man. They got things they got to take care of. But let me give a shout out to the Krubies and all the listeners that have given us support. Once Jitterbug and Nerves made the announcements, and once they talked to the Krubies about what was going to happen with the flagship, we've gotten a lot of support. We've gotten a lot of support from the Talking Ship community in this endeavor of taking over the flagship. I really appreciate that. So a big shout out to all the Krubies and all the listeners that have supported us. We're going to give you guys the best show we possibly can, and there's no doubt that it's going to be a work in progress, a morphing thing. We've got to give this thing a few shots, see where we land with it. It's just like the Game Lounge. We started the Game Lounge something, and if you listen to the first Game Lounge, it's entirely different than what we do now.
And it's only been a few months.
It has been. And expect the same from the flagship. We're going to take it. We're going to use their format for the most part. Use a lot of their same segments. bring our own personalities to it, but you know, we may not have as much, we may not have as many different things to talk about as they do. We may be bullshitting more. We may bring more topics. We may bullshit less. It's going to be where we need to land it. And if it's entertaining, then great. If it's not, then we'll go back to the drawing board and figure something else out, man. We're not going to leave the community hanging here.
No, we will not. So that was awesome. Enough with the somber shit. What are you drinking?
Oh, Farber, I got something pretty special today. It's not a beer either.
Oh, my God.
And let me just preface this by saying, right before we started recording, I said, I got to go fill up my drink. And then I left for like 15 minutes.
You were gone for a while.
Yeah. And so there's a reason for that is because I'm drinking a Caucasian. I've got a White Russian here. And no. Yeah, it's nice. It's I had a La Douche over for a Bad Movie Drinky Drinky on Saturday night, and Jamie drank a Caucasian and I drank a beer the whole time, and I was just like the whole time I was just like drinking my beer and I was enjoying my beer, but I was just kind of looking longingly.
Any possibility her wreck was on a Sunday?
No.
All right, just checking. All
no, right. her wreck was earlier that day on a Saturday, so I was happy to give her all the alcohol she needed.
Got it. Okay.
Cool her out, because guess what? She ain't going to be driving for a few days.
Yeah, she's good.
Yeah. But yeah, I was looking longingly at her White Russian the entire time. Now I decided, hey, you know what? We're recording the Game Lounge. We got some pretty big announcements to make here, and it's going to be a pretty fun show. I'm going to do it a little special to have a White Russian. What have you got over there, Farba?
Right now, I've got a Jack and Coke Zero. And I've been online here for a little while. I got on Skype probably about 20 minutes early. I was just kind of hanging out waiting for you. Dave from Sarcastic Gamer was on, so me and him started chatting while I was waiting for you. So I'm like, oh, I'm chatting. I'm on Skype. So I naturally, when I'm on Skype and I'm set up like this, I start drinking because right. That's what I've been doing for the last few months. So I started drinking and drinking. I'm like, I look down, you know, you finally get on. It's like 20 minutes later. My drink's damn near empty.
Oh.
I'm like, oh, well, I will refill that, and now it's a little more Jack than I meant, and I'm already feeling that warm, slightly woozy feeling. It's going to be a good show for Farba.
Is it going to be like last week? Because you got messed up last week, man.
I haven't even listened to the show yet. Usually I listen to it like right off the bat. I haven't even listened to it yet.
You got tore up. You asked me to send you a game on Skype. Yeah,
did I really?
Yeah, he asked me to send you a game through Skype, and I kept arguing with you that I couldn't do it. Enough recap of the last show, but you should listen to it because you got tore up, and that's why I named the show Farva Got Sloppy.
Very nice. I am sorry. I will try and I'll take smaller sips.
Fuck that, man. Get lit. It was fun.
All right.
So that's gonna do it for the intro segment here, and we're gonna go on into Digital Desk. Okay, it's Digital Desk, and the first story up on the Digital Desk is a little quote from a guy named Billy Bob Thornton.
Love that guy.
Yeah?
Yeah, love him.
Love him?
Love him.
All right.
Dude, he fucked Angelina Jolie. I haven't. He's a god.
Yeah, I get that. All right, so see how you feel about him after you hear this. He said, his quote from a interview in the Telegraph is, we're living in a time where we're making, in my humble opinion, the worst movies in history. They're geared toward the video game playing generation, and these video games are killing people for fun, and I think traditionally in movies there's always been some kind of lesson in the violent movies. This guy stars in, have you seen any of the trailers for Faster?
I have. Dwayne Johnson looks huge.
He does. And
he got big again.
Is this the guy to really be outcrying against gratuitous violence in media?
Yes. Yeah, fuck this guy. Fuck him.
Yeah, right?
Fuck him. That's such a hypocrite. And the thing is, you know, if it's all good if it's in your backyard, you know. Oh, you know, your dog shits in your backyard, it's fine. No, no. But your neighbor's yard, this guy, his dog shit in his yard? Oh, that's just a fucking, it's a hazard. You know, it's bringing property values down, you know. It's like, fuck you, you fucking hypocrite.
Yeah. You know what? I'm not against gratuitous violence. I like the look of Faster. I think it's a fun movie.
I'm probably going to go see it.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem with it. What I have a problem with is his it's this pious, oh, you know, this video game generation, all they want is blood and guts and violence. You know, I have no problem profiteering off of it when it suits my medium, but I think it's just ridiculous what the youth are coming to nowadays. Uh-huh.
In order, the movie Faster stars The Rock, it stars his big-ass revolver, and it stars his sweet-ass car, and then it stars Billy Bob Thornton. He's about fourth on the list of stars in that movie.
And then I'm guessing number five is probably some chick with big tits.
Probably.
That'd be my guess.
And that's the thing, is that like the number two and number three attractions in Faster are a weapon and a sweet-ass car. And he's the one, and he's profiting. He's benefiting from this movie. But he's got a problem with video games where you kill people, and it's gratuitous. Like, most video games have more of a story than Faster probably will.
The thing is, I mean, if you think about it, movies, like good movies are movies that get you involved in that world. You know,
yeah.
If you're sitting in your theater seat and you get so lost in the story that you forget you're in a theater seat,
yeah.
You know, and you're just like, oh my God, this is great. Violent or whatever, that's what makes movies good. I don't care if it's a comedy or a horror or a romance or a rom-com or like a love story or a romance or any of those. You know, if you get lost in the story and you really like when they finally kiss under the stars, it's like, you know, that's great. I love that kind of stuff.
Great.
And this whole deal, you know, all video games are an extension of that. You get lost in the world, and there are times when like the mechanics are broken. You get, you know, frame rate drops off, or you know, the controls suck, and this and that. And it pulls you out of the world, and you're like, this is a shitty game.
It's kind of like when Casper Van Dien speaks in a movie. It's like a broken mechanic in a video game.
Although, if you turn the channels and Starship Troopers is on, will you not watch the rest of it?
Oh, fuck you. Are you kidding me?
I love that movie.
Oh, it's so great. So
it's so stupid. God, he's so bad in that movie.
So going a full 180 from the actor or the person in the movie industry that has a problem with video games, did you see Inception?
Loved Inception.
It's great, and it's exactly what you're talking about. It's the movie that you go into the theater and you just get lost in.
Although, to be fair, spoiler alert, watching that movie, I noticed that everybody's hair was slicked down and styled like DiCaprio's character was. And that, except for the guy with the beard, like the Indian dude with the afro, but everybody else, every other male in, no matter who they were or what they were, they all had that same haircut. And I was like, huh, that just like, when a movie is dealing so much in details, I couldn't get away from that.
Yeah.
That was just something I noticed. And so it was one of those like, so when the end hit, I'm like, ah, yes. Okay. Great. I was kind of on that train a little bit.
Yeah.
It was a great movie.
Yeah, absolutely. It all brought it all together. It's the kind of movie like Nolan movies where you could watch it a second time and gain so much more out of it.
Do you think Ellen Page is hot?
No.
You know what? I don't either, but I would still totally fuck her. She's so fucking adorable. Like, literally fucking adorable. There's something like super sweet about her. I'm just like, oh, I totally want to put you on my knee and do dirty things to you.
So, Chris Nolan, the director of Inception and Memento, he says that there is going to be an Inception video game in the works. I put it in the show notes, but if it's not that... What could you possibly consider an Inception game to be?
Honestly,
yeah.
I would picture it being some sort of first-person shooter.
Really?
You wrote down an MMO.
Yeah, I wrote down an MMO because it seems like that would be the perfect world, the perfect kind of concept for an MMO.
You think? Because it's a world within a world within a world,
yeah.
And each person has their own dream. I think that's way too complex. I think it'll be more of a first-person shooter delving into the mind, because that's where you get the multiple – you get the multiple levels. You get the multiple – like every time you jump into a new world, you get a whole new time frame.
Uh-huh.
You get the rules of that world. You like the world that lost its gravity. You know,
yeah.
You'd be playing by different rules, different time sets. Different weapons,
yeah.
Different all kinds of stuff. I really think it'll be more of a first-person shooter. And I think it's late, so I'm hoping it's going to be a sequel-like thing or a game using the mechanics but not just retelling the story.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Well, what he said was that he always imagined Inception to be a world where a lot of other stories could take place. At the moment that they're only channeling, the only direction they're channeling is that they're developing a video game set in the world. That sounds like MMO talk to me. And it sounds, you know, Inception was a very different movie than The Matrix, but at the same time, the concept of it is very much the same. You lay down, you fall asleep or go into a trance or get this thing stuck into your neck, and you're all of a sudden in this different world.
Mm-hmm.
That's what an MMO is.
Yeah,
that's what an MMO is. That was the Matrix was like the concept of the MMO in real life. And I'm not saying maybe not an MMORPG. Maybe it is an MMO shooter. Maybe it's a Call of Duty type thing where you're, you know, running around in dreams, and maybe there's a week of the MMO where there's no gravity or some shit like that. You know what I'm talking about. Like you were just saying. But
yeah.
I think this game, we won't see it for a while. We won't see it in 2011. We may not see it in 2012. It may be until 2013 when we actually see it. But I loved Inception.
Oh, yeah. Great, fantastic, fantastic movie.
And anything that gets Chris Nolan, my favorite director, into video games, mm-hmm. yeah, I'll be on board with that.
I got a question for you. The chick that played DiCaprio's wife.
Okay.
Have you suddenly seen her in everything?
Yeah, she's popping up all over the place, isn't she?
Yeah, I swear I'd never seen her before, and she's got that little mole that's kind of in the middle of her forehead that just kind of like makes her like really stand out. And I all of a sudden it's like when I've just seen her suddenly. It just seems like almost every movie I watch she's in, and it's just because like I recently went back and watched a couple of old movies that were just kind of. You know, I get them from the Red Box for a dollar or whatever.
Yeah, yeah,
I'm like, oh, I haven't seen that forever. Snatch it out of there. And I'm like, she's in fucking everything. Go away. The dot. Fucking, it's off center. Just go away. Just, oh, it's been bugging
me. She's incepted her fucking dot into your brain, and you're seeing it everywhere.
Dude, she's everywhere.
So, the next story I want to talk about is something, it's not really much of a story, but GameStop is now offering a pre-order bonus. And that's nothing new. They're offering a pre-order bonus, though, for Halo DLC. For Halo Reach DLC, for the Noble Map Pack. If you pre-order the Noble Map Pack from GameStop, which I guess would involve you going there and pre-ordering like the card that you can go and buy, that you can go and input into your system when it comes out, you get a Mark V Spartan flaming helmet for your avatar.
Yeah.
I already got my avatar pretty much how I want him.
Yeah, me too. He doesn't fucking exist.
I got my jersey. I got me a jersey.
You know what's messed up? I think my wife bought Halo Reach for me for Christmas.
Yeah?
I think she did. Like, she got it on Amazon, and I know my brother-in-law was wanting it. But I think she may have got two. Like, we're expecting a whole bunch of stuff from Amazon. She's like, yeah, and I ordered stuff for Joel, yada, yada, yada. I'm like, oh, awesome, nice, that's good to know. She's like, but don't open any of the boxes. Uh-oh. I'm like, okay. And then earlier she was talking about Halo Reach, and I'm like, I'm like, that wasn't on his list. She's like, no, I got that afterwards. I'm like, oh, okay.
Well, was it last week that she got it?
Yeah, she ordered it. Would have been Friday.
There's a smoking deal on Friday for that. I think it was like $35 or something.
Yep, $35 on Amazon. Yeah. I think she snatched me one.
It just goes to prove my point. If you're looking to buy video games on Black Friday, don't leave your fucking house.
No.
They had them home. We'll talk about that later. But now GameStop is offering pre-order bonuses for DLC cards you can buy there. I get pre-order bonuses. It's a capitalism thing. It's a marketing thing. You're trying to get people to buy it, and you're paying companies to give you exclusive content that you can. You're the only one that can offer. I get that. Mm-hmm. DLC. I don't know if this is going to work out all that well for them. DLC. Who goes out and buys DLC? That's the whole fucking point of DLC, is that you're not going out and buying it.
Well, all right. Is there a markup at all?
No, not at all.
Okay, so you're paying the same price.
Yeah.
You know what? It could work. I mean, for this reason, there are people who have I have a game. I do shop at GameStop.
Okay.
Not all the time, but it's when I go for new games. That's where I got my Kinect.
Sure.
That does tend to be where I go. Yeah. So, I have a Game Rewards card. So if I wanted to get some DLC and I'm like, oh, it's there, and I happen to be in the area, I might snatch it up just to get the little extra. Why the hell not? Mm-hmm. But yeah, for the most part, it's easy. It's simple. But it's what they're doing is they're just expanding and seeing, hey, can this work? That's what they're doing.
Yeah.
I mean, if no one goes in and gets them, because there's been a shit ton of commercials for it.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy running around setting everything on fire and fire, fire, I love fire. And I'm like, it's an entertaining commercial. I watch it every time it comes on.
Right.
But on the same note, it's like, are people really going to go and pick it up? Maybe, maybe not. But they're venturing out and they're trying to see if they can, you know, generate another penny or two. That's capitalism. I'm not going to hate them for it.
Sure, they can give it a crack. And I think this time of year is the only time of year that they could really try it with any real success.
I didn't even think about that. But yeah, you're right. With like grandparents and parents and stuff going and buying their stuff, it's like, oh, well, he has this game. Well, here. You know, like, well, what is your son like? Well, he plays the Halo game. Well, does he have this one? Yeah, he does. Well, you can buy this for $10, and it expands his gameplay. Plus, he gets this limited thing that you only get from buying here.
Yeah.
Timmy's going to love that. Yeah. No, that's... Kudos to them.
But it's I think it's a loss because they're not making any money on it. I think it's a loss leader for them because you know how it is. It's like Black Friday when they're selling the crazy shit at Walmart for, you know, a TV, 42-inch TV for $300, something like that. That's a loss leader for them. It's to get people in the doors. And you know what? If you're getting in the doors of GameStop and you're dropping $10, no one really gets out of GameStop dropping $10.
No.
Right?
No.
You're going to see
either
other
go in there and I spend nothing – or I spend $120.
Or better yet, you're going to go in there and trade your copy of Assassin's Creed 2 in for $10 and just use that on their thing. And then they win both ways.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, kudos. Give it a shot. I got a problem thinking that this is going to work for them any other time of the year but now. If they think this is going to work in March, I think they might hit a wall. But they can give it a shot with this Halo DLC now and see how it pans out. But the next thing I want to talk about is that Microsoft is working on a TV subscription service, and this was a rumor earlier in the week, but it's pretty much firmed up now. It's not coming out anytime soon, but it's looking like they're going to be coming with like a Hulu kind of alternative.
That would be okay. What I really want, I was actually just talking to Dave about this.
Yeah.
I got my Kinect. I came in, I hooked it up late Monday night. I just moved my whole media center, so I spent all day today, literally a good 4 hours. I pulled all the wires out of everything, completely moved everything, rehooked it up, zip-tied everything, got it all looking real nice,
yep.
You know. Got my system all set up, got on, you know, turned shit on, Kinect, love the ESPN.
Yeah, it's cool.
I really like it.
Yeah.
I didn't think I would. I was getting some pretty solid basketball games and stuff like that, but my thing is I want Monday Night Football.
Yeah,
I want to see if they'll give me Monday Night Football through that, because I don't have TV at my house.
Right.
Not because I don't want it, because I'm not home enough to use it. We have Netflix for my daughter for all the shows she wants.
Yep.
My wife, we have Hulu. We have all these other things. It's not worth $80 a month on shows that we don't watch, or we could watch at our convenience on Hulu or on our computers, or, you know, even put them now on our TV.
Sure.
So the thing is if I was able to get that, I would even pay. Like, I'd pay $5 a month.
Uh-huh.
Just to get ESPN, regular ESPN,
yeah.
Run through my TV, run, you know, through my Xbox.
Yeah.
So if they're looking at something like that where you can even pick and choose or get a small package for $20 a month, you get, you know, Fox, NBC,
yep.
You get all those channels for free anyway. I get all those channels for free just with the rabbit ears that I have on the back of my TV, hidden behind my TV.
Right.
So, but if I got like ESPN, or you could kind of, you know what I mean? Like pick and choose and say like a buffet. I want a little G4 because, you know, I'm retarded. And I want a little ESPN because, you know, I'm a fan. And I want a little of the Playboy channel because I'm fucking horny. Whatever. If you can like, you know, put together an individualized little package for you.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
That's what people have been wanting for years out of cable companies. They haven't done it because a lot of these cable companies are monopolies in their markets. But
Microsoft has the money to fucking say, we want to do it this way. We will pay you this much. They know they'll make some money on it.
Yeah. If Microsoft, through Xbox Live, starts doing stuff like this, then the cable companies will be shitting bricks. B, they'll probably try and find some workaround to drop Xbox Live from your internet if you run your internet through the same cable company bullshit. Mm-hmm. And see if it all works out. A la carte cable TV is exactly what a lot of people want. I don't need TLC 1, 2, and 3.
No.
I don't need that.
Do not fuck with my HGTV, though. Seriously, if I don't get Trading Spaces, I'm a stab a fucker.
Yeah, well, maybe they'll have one. But that's what it sounds like that Microsoft's working on, is an a la carte TV subscription service, which, well, great. Bring it on.
That would be amazing. Yeah. Like, Microsoft, if some lucky worker, some peon just happened to be working somewhere, please know, as a regular gamer, I would love that. Yeah. Please do this.
Yeah, it's a great idea. And speaking of great causes, the last story I want to talk about is really, Farva, you got to click on this link. I know you don't normally do this, and it's gonna be weird when you click on this link. Take a look at this fucking awesome thing that's happening. So Penny Arcade is doing a charity every year. They call it Child's Play. And it's a video gamers charity. It's huge. I mean, it is huge. It eclipses everything. And they have a charity auction downtown Seattle every year. It is a black tie affair. It's really snazzy. It's kind of expensive to go. But one of the things they're going to be auctioning off at the Child's Play charity auction is a replica portal gun. So
it looks amazing.
Look at that fucking thing. It's
if I could get my hands on that, I will grow out my hair, figure out the outfit, put on the outfit. I will be the chick from Portal at PAX.
Yeah.
I would totally do that just to have a reason to run around with that. I will dress in drag for all 3 days of PAX just to run around with that on my arm.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
Isn't it? Look at that thing. It's you know, it's not just some shoddy recreation. This thing looks like the real fucking deal. It looks great. And if you look, and there's a YouTube video below it, below the picture, and this makes for great podcasting, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, it's so holy shit! Did you just see what that thing did?
I'll put the link up in the forum so you guys can take a look and marvel and drool at this thing too. But if you look, you don't even have to watch the video, but you can look at the preview picture of the video to the side, and it's actually got the tube. It's got like a cathode tube. You know, the front picture is like a head on shot, but the side picture you can see the tube that runs through it.
Yeah,
it's a hell of a thing, and I'm thinking I might have to go there. On the premise of covering the Child's Play charity auction for Talking Ship, and going and losing this auction, because I got a feeling this is going to get up to astronomical heights that I just can't reach.
This is going to hit a couple grand and then some.
Yeah. Damn it. God damn
but
so, it.
I mean, but it's good. Yeah, I know. I would love to have it, but you know, it goes to a worthwhile cause.
Yeah.
So that, you know what, man, I wish I could find, have you seen the working war machine?
No.
That some guy built? Some guy, like, did all the specs. He, like, literally watched Iron Man 2 and, like, took and measurement. And he did a working war machine where literally, like, the Gatling gun on the shoulder fucking rotates like it's going to fire. Like, everything, like, when he moves his arms and stuff, it all has, like, pulleys and – or not pulleys, but fucking – what are they called? The little tubes that go and extend shit.
Pistons.
Thank you. Pistons. It's got moving pistons and parts. I mean, this thing is fucking insane.
That's awesome.
Just find, like, real-life war machine or, I don't know. But it's amazing. This is like that.
That's crazy.
Like, either one of those I would pay thousands of dollars for if I had it.
I wonder how much they would charge me, the person that wins the auction, to hold it for a picture.
You never know,
30
dude.
Bucks, 40
you
bucks?
You can always try. Something. Probably. Yeah. Hey, it might be worth it. Just carry it in your pocket and be like, hey, dude, you won that. Would you mind? I'll give you this much just to let me hold it and take a picture.
And if not, I'll just punch him and grab it and run out.
Fuck you, Bill Gates. I'm out.
I'll try and shoot a portal in the wall and get the fuck out.
I know. Oh, this thing's a fucking fake.
He's a faker. All right, that's going to do it for Digital Desk. We're going to go on into the game bang. Okay, this is Game Bang. I've got a pretty short one, unless you want to expound on it at all. I finished Assassin's Creed 2 because I promised myself I would before I started Assassin's Creed Brotherhood story, and I haven't done that yet. I haven't started yet. But I finished Assassin's Creed 2. I know you said you never finished it.
I did not. Because I have it on the PS3, and I hardly ever play my PS3.
Are you planning on finishing it?
I'm actually going... All right. As anyone I work with, please turn off. Right, seriously, turn off. Stop listening right now.
Yeah, that's gonna happen.
Okay. No, I don't. You know what? I don't think anyone I know listens to this anyway.
Okay.
Really. On the day before Thanksgiving, we went to Best Buy, me and my wife, and we dropped a shit ton of money, because it was, if we spent so much money, then we were able to put it on our Best Buy card, and it was zero interest, which spread out the payments, which means we could buy awesome Christmas presents, and the payments are small, and it's something we can afford, you know. So instead of, like, pushing ourselves and making ourselves really tight around Christmas time,
yeah,
and spending the same money, we can spread it out over the next 3-4 months, pay it in bulk payments, but, you know, and get it off,
yeah,
and no
plan.
Interest. So while we were doing that, I'm like, hey, I want to see if there's a little small TV, because I take my Xbox with me to work all the time to hook up to a shitty TV in my motel room.
Yeah.
I wonder if I can just find a little, like, prop-up TV. I ended up buying a 720p Samsung LCD 19-inch TV,
yeah,
which fits perfectly in my backpack with my Xbox 360 and one controller and all the cords I need.
Great.
Which is brilliant. So when there were no doctors around and shit gets quiet, I pull the shit up and, like, everyone else, like, watches movies and shit on their laptops or little DVD players. I just play video games.
Yeah.
So I played I'm gonna steal this a little real quick and then I'll get back to it. So I went and rented Dragon Age Origins,
yeah,
and played it on the 360. Beat it all the way through.
Wow.
Which is a long fucking,
yeah,
game. Beat it. Completely beat it.
Holy shit.
Yeah, like I think I raised my gamer score something like, I don't know, 500 points.
All right.
500, 700 points. I mean, that's a lot if you consider, you know, how long this fucking game is.
Yeah, nice one.
So I'll have plenty of time for Assassin's Creed 2. Now, I own it for the PS3, but again, I hardly ever play my PS3 because when I'm home and I have very little time to game, and when I do game, I tend to game online with friends. So I'm going to be renting Assassin's Creed 2 this coming weekend, so when I have dead time, I can pull all my shit out, take the 20 minutes to take, you know, the 10 minutes it takes to set it up, and plow through it. So I'm super excited. So don't fucking spoil
all right,
this
I won't,
shit
I won't
for me.
Spoil it, but it's awesome. I mean, I always heard the ending of Assassin's Creed 2 was mind blowing, and I was like, and that's the whole reason I didn't start Assassin's Creed Brotherhood until I finished Assassin's Creed 2, and it took me forever. And I actually went away from it for a while. I really wasn't into it when I got it, but then about 7 or 8 or 9 months ago, I kind of got back into it. And I really kind of dug through it and started enjoying it again, and then I got stuck in other games and all that shit, backlog, diverted my attention from it, and just recently I finished the last about 3 hours, maybe 3.5, in one, mm-hmm, sitting, which was just phenomenal. I mean, nothing like Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, a new game to come out. It's weird to think that Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, a sequel, can make you realize just how good Assassin's Creed 2 was.
Yeah.
That was an excellent game. I mean, that was an excellent game. It was unique, and it still is unique. And I think the Assassin's Creed franchise has a lot of legs. And that's kind of why I'm thinking that Brotherhood, which is now being lauded as the best Assassin's Creed, is not even close to the end. I don't think Assassin's Creed 3 will be the end. I doubt Assassin's Creed 4 will be the end. I think it'll end somewhere around Assassin's Creed 5. But it's all leading up to this guy, this modern day guy, doing a modern day game as Desmond.
Well, I just seriously, like, about 3 hours ago, I just took a monster shit.
Okay,
monster
Great.
Shit. I was on the toilet for at least, I don't know, 7 to 8 minutes.
Okay.
And while I was there, I was reading.
Lightweight.
Yeah, I was, dude. Hey, you know what? For me, that was I was expelling. I multitask.
All right.
So I was listening to a podcast on my iPhone, and I was reading my Game Informer. And while I was, I got to the Assassin's Creed review, mm-hmm, and in there they talk about how it ends, how Brotherhood ends on kind of a cliffhanger,
yeah,
that just leaves you chomping at. Their words were chomping at the bit for the inevitable Assassin's Creed 3.
Yes.
Which, and so everything they described in there, they didn't give away any, you know, they're good about never giving away spoilers.
Yeah.
But on the same note, I was just like, I have got to fucking get Assassin's Creed 2 done so I can get into Brotherhood. I've got to get this done. I can't fucking drag my feet on this,
yeah,
anymore. Like, I haven't finished Red Dead Redemption, and the whole weekend I was playing, I was like, you know, every time I picked up, I'm like, you know what? This is fun, but I'd kind of done it on my computer. You know, I just wanted to see what it was like playing Dragon Age on the 360.
Yeah.
But I'm like, man, I wish I'd forgotten. I'd left Red Dead at the house.
Okay.
I'm like, man, I wish I had that. I would totally love to. Like, it's perfect for like single player type games like that.
Sure.
It'd be perfect time to just plow through it and just really get into it. And I was going to do that this coming weekend, but after reading this thing and now talking to you, dude, Assassin's Creed 2 is my next rental, and I'm taking that with me. And after that, Brotherhood, I'm going to plow through these fuckers in the next 2 weeks.
Well, that's the thing is that what I would suggest to you, and this works out great for me, is wait until Assassin's Creed 3 comes along to really finish up Assassin's Creed. You know, in these Assassin's Creed games, in almost every single-player game, there's going to come a point in sort of the middle of the story where there might be a lull in the gameplay. I don't know if it ever happened in Mass Effect 2 because that was just such a fantastic game.
Amazing.
But Assassin's Creed 2, there was certainly a part, and you're probably right at that part, where you're like sort of doing the same thing. And you're going, do a couple of missions, kill a guy, do a couple of missions, kill a guy, kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's where I'm at in 3. I'm at a point right now where it seems like I've done. I got bored with it when I was playing on the PS3. It seemed like I started doing the same thing over and over again. Yeah. I was in a new city, but I'm working for these people and I'm trying to hunt down some traitors. And I'm like, whatever.
Well, what I would suggest to you, Farva, is to get to that point in Brotherhood. Go ahead and plow through Assassin's Creed 2. And then get to that point in Brotherhood and stop until Assassin's Creed 3 comes along. Because that's what I have done with Assassin's Creed 2, essentially, and it wasn't intentional. I played it to a point where I kind of lost interest in it a little bit, and then Brotherhood came along, and then I remembered all the hype about the ending of Assassin's Creed 2 and how everybody fucking went crazy for it. And now,
and for this, I have to say, fuck you, your logic is flawed, you're stupid, and your mother is fat.
Whoa, Farva! What's wrong with that logic?
I'm sorry. No, there's no way. Like, you got to think. The way I'm planning on doing it is to literally sit down and plow through a fucking game like on a weekend.
I get it.
So, but there's no way I can hit that point and just be like, oh, it's kind of slowing down, because I know from playing one ended. I thought it ended fairly well. I enjoyed one.
Yeah.
Like when it ended, I was like walking around. I'm like, I needed to get to two. Then two came, and I'm like, and I was really enjoying it. I kind of hit that lull, and now that I've heard it's so amazing, I'm going to finish it. And you know I'm going to hit three. And knowing the way these games go, they ramp up really fast, a lot of fun, kind of have, like you said, that little dead zone in the middle, and then they just have these crazy killer endings. That's like telling me, okay, you can fuck. But once you get, you know, that, like, when you first, you know, put your dick in, it's like, this is amazing, I love this. Then you hit that middle pace where it's like, okay, it's kind of ramping up in this building, but I could be here for a while. Mm-hmm. If I think about baseball, I can make this last a little while, you know? Okay, you know, like, I think about you, and I'm like, okay, this can go for a little bit, whatever. Right. Just riding it along. But then, you know, once you get to that ramp up part, that's where the payoff is.
Sure.
So you basically want me to give myself gamer blue balls.
You got to gauge it.
And for that, I say, fuck you, sir.
Well, okay, when are you going to get to the Brotherhood ending? I mean, you've got to get through the entirety of Assassin's Creed 2. And then you've got to play
through
Brotherhood.
In all honesty, the thing is, it's like, I don't know if you remember from PAX, but I hardly slept at all.
That's true.
Like, I'd be up, like, we were watching, I remember one night, we all crashed, everyone crashed. I have a problem with insomnia. There were times when, like, I would literally get to my room, I'd crash out to sleep, I'd lay there toss and turn for 4 or 5 hours. I'd wake up, I'm like, fuck, I gotta be up in 3 hours. I'd pull my shit out and start playing, and I finished Dragon Age. I finished Dragon Age at from 2:30 in the morning till 5:30 in the morning when I had to take a shower and get ready and go to be at work by 6. Because I didn't sleep at all that night. That just happens to me sometimes. So I guarantee you, I could probably rent both games and knock them out this weekend.
That's crazy. So you're not the average video game player. You don't require sleep, and so that's a little bit different.
Oh, eventually I hit that point where I just hit the wall and I just fucking fall into a coma for like a good 12 hours.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I'm a drunk, I'm a nurse, and I'm an insomniac, so it makes me really fun with needles.
For everybody else, make it last, baby. I'm not this kind of guy. I'm not the kind of guy that makes a video game last. I crank through video games. Uncharted 2 I beat in a matter of like 2 days. Mass Effect 2 was a matter of 3 or 4 days. But make it last with these games. Assassin's Creed 2 was a long ass game, and because it was a long ass game, and because I hadn't gotten near the end of it, and the hype of all the stuff had died down, only when the hype built back up for Assassin's Creed Brotherhood did I get back into the game and finish it. And I'm glad I did, because now I can roll. Not now that cliffhanger, Farva, that you're talking about, how you're saying, oh, God, I can't wait for the next one to come out. I don't have to. I got it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's sitting at my cabinet. I can just run it right in there as soon as I want to.
I refuse to have blue balls. I figure I'm going to finish the game. I'm going to blow my lobe. I'm retarded. I know. I'm going to blow my load. Yeah. And then I'm just going to spend the next, you know, 8 months to a year just kind of rubbing it and waiting for things to ramp back up again. You know, eventually the blood comes back and I'll be good to go.
Yeah.
I need that. I need my cuddle time. Don't deprive me of my cuddle time.
Let me just
time.
Say that the ending, not the ending of Assassin's Creed 2 is mind blowing.
Why won't you cuddle me?
because you're not here.
Damn it.
The final gameplay sequence of Assassin's Creed 2. The thing to keep in mind with that final gameplay sequence is to play it like you're a fucking assassin and not like you're a killing like a warrior or something. I played mm-hmm. that through like I was going out there and sword fighting and countering and all that stuff with everybody. And I kept dying and not having a great time with it. And I was like, this sucks. This is for the ending of a game. It's horrible. But when I died the last time, I went back and I started playing it. I was like, oh, there's a haystack right here, and these guys don't see me. So I dive in the haystack, and then I just grab guys as they walk by. And it becomes the Assassin's Creed. You have to make it what it is. You know, you're climbing on the walls of the Vatican. You're scaling around the walls of the Vatican, and it's like, okay, yeah. Once you get what they're going for, it turns into a great gameplay sequence ending.
But once, the Game Informer, one thing they did say, they just praised Brotherhood over. They said it does hit a couple of times where it seems like you're kind of doing the same thing over and over a little bit. Sure. And the story isn't quite as good as Assassin's Creed 2, but it's definitely it's amazing, get it, and 3 is going to be amazing.
Yeah.
But it was one thing they did say they really just ramped up and improved was the combat.
Yeah.
And from the time I spent in it, like, I remember there was a lot of times when you'd, like, try and – if you tried to, like, honestly, like, attack someone with your sword, it just never seemed to work.
Yeah.
They always blocked it. And it gets to the point where all you ever did was waited to counter.
Exactly.
And just, you know – and if you couldn't counter them, they were so big, I would just grab them and throw them into a wall and then stab at them while they're on the ground. Like, the Templars, the big dudes, mm-hmm. just throw them into a wall over and over again, stab at them until on the ground, and eventually you can counter them. That's just how the game worked.
Right.
That kind of sucked. This had a little more, like, I remember, like, attacking someone and being like, and as soon as, like, I swung my sword and as soon as it made contact, I hit the, you know, the attack button again, and I did, like, a quick parry move, and I fucking stabbed the dude and killed him, and like that.
Yeah.
I was like, holy shit, my attack worked.
Yeah.
So I looked at the next guy and I fucking attacked him and it did it again. I'm like, they fixed it. That's fucking fantastic. That was one thing the Game Informer really was like. The biggest complaint was the attack mechanic. The combat seemed to be broken, which you'd think in an assassin game that would break it, but the Assassin's Creed games have been so good, they really kind of could get past even that big fault.
Yeah.
But they fixed that now, and I'm super, super excited to get into this.
Yeah, it's going to be great. So that's what I've been game banging is the Assassin's Creed 2 finale, and I'm sure next week my gaming will probably be the Brotherhood single player. But
hey, do me a favor. Can you send me the Assassin's Creed 2 disc through Skype?
Yes, I definitely
Thanks,
can.
All right.
So that's going to do it for game bang. We're going to go on into the care package.
All right, this is the care package. Wow, we had a long pause there because I forgot I'm the guy who's supposed to start the care packages. This is where I go out and I rent the latest and greatest. If it's something I know I want, I'll buy it. In this case, I'm glad I didn't because I rented a game that I have been so looking forward to. If you go back, I don't know, episodes 19.
Two.
You know what? Since I heard about them.
Yeah.
Fuck. Epic Mickey on the Wii. So excited. Seemed to have so much potential. Fuck! Epic Mickey is an epic fail so far. It's hit a point. I've spent about a half an hour with it, and I'm already at a point where I'm like, fuck it, I don't want to play it anymore. Because I have it for a couple of days, I'm going to play it a little more, and hope to God it gets better. There are a couple of things there are a couple of moments that I've hit that are like, whoa, that's cool. But for the most part, we'll just start off. Epic Mickey starts off with a story. All right, right before it gives you the chance to hit start, get into the game, starts giving you the narrative. Essentially, Disney, I'm fucking retarded. Okay. I'm not retarded, and I'm sorry for anyone who has someone who is mentally handicapped in your home. I don't mean that as an insult. It's just my word, my go-to word. You know, I'm going to say I'm fucking Caucasian, all right? I'm fucking Caucasian, all right? So Mickey is sleeping with Alice Through the Looking Glass on his chest. It's the actual book that Alice in Wonderland is based on. He wakes up. He goes through his mirror. He ends up in Yen Sid's world. If you don't know who Yen Sid is, that's Disney spelled backwards. It's the name of the wizard from The Sorcerer's Apprentice. When Mickey stole his hat, made all the brooms, chopped them up. There's multiple brooms.
Yep.
That guy. Okay, from Fantasia?
Indeed, yeah.
God, I'm fucking drunk and I rock. Okay, so... Anyway, he goes into his world. What Yen Sid has done is he's just putting his finishing touches on a world that he's creating for forgotten things. Now, what makes this cool, what really got me excited about this game, was Disney's first character. The very first thing he created was not Mickey Mouse. He created a character called Oswald, which was a rabbit, a little rabbit that kind of looked like Mickey Mouse. The old Mickey from the 19, like, you know, the old black and white Mickey Mouse. Imagine that as a rabbit. That was Oswald.
Right.
Now, he worked for an animation company. He eventually said, I want to go in a different direction. They said, fuck you. We're not going to let it happen. He said, fuck you. I'm going to go over here and do what I want anyway. They said, we own Oswald. He said, fuck you. I'm going to make him a mouse. That's where we got Mickey. And the rest is history. So Oswald was created as this forgotten thing. So Jens has created this world for Oswald and other forgotten things to exist. And it's essentially, it's a Disneyland or Disney world that is for these creatures, for these memories. And Mickey shows up, and of course Mickey's a fucking dunce, and he fucks around, and he gets some paint thinner. He takes a magic paintbrush. He creates this ink blot, this evil blot. He ends up spilling magic paint and paint thinner into this world. The ink blot takes over this world. He freaks out. He runs back through the looking glass. Years roll by. The blot eventually shows up, fucking grabs him, drags him through the mirror into this world, and this is where you start the game. So this is a world that's been created for Oswald and for these characters that Mickey has been drugged into by this evil blot that he created because he's a fucking dunce.
Yeah.
Now, I'm a huge Mickey Mouse fan.
I just got to say that you should have written the back of the box for this game, because that would have been the greatest summary of the setup of this game ever. Your drunken, cuss-filled just rant about the... He just drags fucking right back through the fucking looking glass.
Okay, I'm sorry. If I've offended anybody, I'm really sorry.
No, it's Disney, perfect. I'm transcribing this right now.
Because the thing is I really was looking forward to this game. I loved the concept of it. Basically, this is a world of Disney, of Mickey's forgotten brother. And I there's a couple of things I know that are supposed to come in this game are the only reasons I want to continue playing it, and this is why. You show up, you control Mickey, it's a Wii game, it's fairly responsive, it starts off kind of slow, it's kind of walking you through a tutorial. That's to be expected. And the way the cutscenes are created, it's kind of almost like a comic book setting. Like, I remember, you saw it at PAX.
Oh, yeah.
The way they did the cell shading type of look
to it.
That's kind of cool. But you got these huge worlds. You go through. That's all well and fun. Then you run into a couple of problems. When you finally get the paint thinner and the magic paint, and you start pointing it at the screen, it's not always as accurate as it should be. Like, I'll have my trigger right at something, I'll pull the trigger, and it hits right in front of it. Now, that may be because it's on it. Like, I think the problem is, honestly, it's too fucking accurate.
Okay.
What happens is let's say I'm walking upstairs, and the stairs in front of me are blank. So I hit the bottom of the blank space, and I pull the trigger to throw some paint on there to paint these stairs into existence.
Sure.
Well, because the stairs go up, the paint has kind of an arc, and it hits the stairs that exist going up and misses the... You know, I start hitting the bottom of the stairs instead of hitting the blank space.
And there's a problem. So I've got to kind of move it up. Because you have a limited amount of paint.
You do. And I start running, and I'm like, oh, that gets frustrating. But they fix that by, if you color in enough stuff, they'll give you more paint. It just kind of shows up.
Okay.
Which is all well and good. So I'm like, all right, that's not too big a deal. But it does get kind of frustrating. Then you turn around and you got the enemies. The enemies are a fucking pain in the ass. Wow. They are so, like, you can jump on them or you can shake the Wiimote and do the spin move and stun them. And if you hit them with the, basically this game does have a morality to it. If you do a lot of painting and creating, you will create worlds and you'll create a positive type Mickey. You'll do a lot of good things. And he will become much more the Mickey Mouse we all know. He stands upright, he's cheerful, he's happy, this and that. If you use a lot of the paint thinner, and you tend to destroy stuff to get to where you're going to get, you know, the ends justifying the means kind of play, you'll have more of like this Rat Fink type of appearance. Now, this initially intrigued me about the game because Mickey Mouse, back in the day when I was a kid, was more the mischievous type. He wasn't this happy-go-lucky, hey, let's fucking learn how to read shit that we have nowadays. Yeah. He was fucking like getting into shit and causing problems. So I was excited about this. Now, but the choices you make are ridiculous. Like the very first morality choice I came across was, hey, this little gremlin guy is stuck in a cage. Now you can, but there's a pressure plate under here with a treasure chest on it. So you can go in there and get some tickets, and I don't even know what the tickets are for, but you can fucking go in there and open the treasure chest and get a bunch of tickets, or you can save this guy. But if you get the tickets, he's going to launch him and kill this guy. What are you going to do? I don't know. You know, they're so fucking obvious. It's like, all right, really? Do you want to be good or do you want to be bad? Those are the choices you make. It's really obvious. It's not the subtleties that I've learned to appreciate with Mass Effect and Red Dead Redemption and these other games. Right. It's so obvious that it's almost painful, you know?
Yeah.
So that's a problem I've run into. The aiming mechanic kind of gets broken. The enemies, they're so fucking fast, and they recover from their dizziness so fast that you have to either spin at them or jump at them. Then you can thin them out with paint thinner and kill them, or you can hit them with paint, and if you hit them with enough paint, they then become your ally, and they start attacking the other bad guys, and then you can paint them all. They all become good. They run away, and you save the day. But it's fucking hard as hell. Then the camera... You can use the directional pad on the Wiimote to move the camera around, and that works kind of. Or you can hit the Z button, which is the you have two triggers on your nunchuck.
Uh-huh.
It's the top one.
Yeah.
But that doesn't always work all the time. Like you tap it, and it doesn't always work. I've learned that you have to kind of double tap it to make sure it does what you want. But if you're going to attack by four or five enemies that are coming hella fast, you can't stun them all. And then start painting them because you stun one and you're trying to start painting him or thinning him to make him, you know, good or bad or just to get rid of him. And the other guys are fucking on top of you right away. It's like, this game should not be that fucking hard.
Yeah.
And I was sober when I was playing it, so it wasn't like I was drunk and like, yeah, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So overall, I'm really disappointed with this game.
Oh,
now,
man, that
sucks. I know, I've been rambling about it. Let me just say, the few reasons I want to get back into it is because the Oswald character, this forgotten character, he starts setting traps for you. I'm hitting a point where he's setting traps for me because he does not like Mickey. Because he sees Mickey as the younger brother that stole what should be rightfully his.
Sure.
And there's a point where you finally get out and you walk into this world. It's fucking Disney World. You see the Dumbo rides, but it's fucking broken. The Peter Pan ride, but it's broken. It's a Small World ride. It's fucking broken. Everything's demented and twisted and torn. That was one moment where I was like, whoa, that's fucking cool.
Yeah.
And this whole deal where Oswald is in this world that, you know, was created for him because he's a forgotten character that you fucked up for him. And you stole his birthright, then you fucked up his world on top of it. And now he's, you know, he kind of resents you. I know there's a point in the game where you kind of meet him, you make amends, you start trying to fix his world. There's some animatronic characters he's created of like Donald and Goofy and this and that that are, you know, that will eventually help you. He's basically tried to mimic Mickey's life because that should have been his life. And so that aspect really has me curious, and I really want to know how that goes, but I can't get past – I'm really having a hard time getting past the gameplay to get there. So far, I have to say Epic Mickey is an epic fail, and for me, a monster letdown.
Oh, man.
So I'm sorry if I ranted on this, but this was the game I wanted. I had to play. This hurts me.
Yeah, that's a big one for you, man. You've been looking forward to this one for a long time.
Oh, really? You're going to edit out that dialogue? That was great dialogue. you should just cut. You should just leave the space, cut it down to like a second, and leave it in there just so you can hear me be like, well,
nice. Thanks for that.
Yeah, too. I just added this. So either you edit this out too, or you just leave the other shit in. I say you leave it
in.
I think
I'll just edit it out and make you sound like a total fucking idiot. How's that sound?
You're a dick.
So that's going to do it for the care package, and we're going to go on into the fresh catch. Okay, fresh catch time, and this one's quick. Guys, email me, fisherman@talkingship.com, with what your preferred computer of choice is, PC or Mac. Fresh catch will be a surprise from me for your platform of choice. Farva, which one's yours?
Okay, now, I would say my computer of choice is a Mac. I love Macs. I think they're fantastic.
Do you have one?
But... no, because they're fucking expensive as hell.
So your computer of choice, in practicality terms, what you actually use is a PC.
Correct.
Okay. See, that's what I need to know. I need to know what you guys use. And go ahead and let me know if you have the other one, too.
Dude, are you going to send me the infamous Fisherman, Fisherwoman porn tape? So fucking excited!
If you have the Mac...
oh, God. I will buy a Mac for that. Fucking someone get me a notebook quick.
If you have a PC, you're getting Frosty Bowling or some bullshit like that. The God Mac is the porn. No, it's neither one of those things. But it's a surprise, guys. Yeah, let me know what you got. Fisherman@talkingchip.com. Send me your platform of choice in terms of computing. It is a game. And it is a game that does not require a lot of specs. So don't worry about your hardware specs for this one so much if your computer is from the last 7 or 8 years. It should be able to take care of what I got for you. Just send it to me. And the first dozen or so, we'll get what's coming to them. If I get an overwhelming set of responses, do it quick. I'll do it in priority of the people that were already on the forums already responded to this. So they're first in line, but then anybody who emails me will be next in line. So for this fresh catch, it's a surprise. It's a little holiday card from me.
Can't you say from us? I know I have nothing to do with it, but couldn't you just throw me a fucking bone
from
here?
Us? From
you're like,
Farva.
No, you know, fuck it. It's from Fish. Everyone knows it's from Fish now.
Straight
you can't fucking go back
from
on that.
Farva. From my email.
Because Farva. I love you.
And that actually makes me go back to Black Friday because, goddamn, Steam just went fucking bananas over Black Friday. Did you log on to Steam?
I couldn't. The thing is okay, we're going to get into this a little bit more in the Gamer Nights, but I couldn't fucking get online.
Yeah.
For anything legit, so I was not able to get onto Steam. I know there should have been monster deals.
There was.
I just could not get there.
5 days of them. It was awesome. 5 days of deals. And there were four independent video game packages on there. There was the Indie Sim Pack, the Indie Story Pack, the Indie Action Pack, and I think the Indie Flight Pack. All of them were $5 and had 5 games in them. You remember when I was talking about Altitude, like in episode 6 or something?
No, but go with
remember,
it.
It was the top.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember.
The multiplayer.
That was that flying game you liked.
Exactly. It was the multiplayer dogfighting game that was on the computer on Steam. It was an independently developed game. That was one of the games of five of the Indie Flight Pack that was $5. It was five games for $5. You could have gotten all, and I did. I got all five of them. I got all four of the packs for $20. I got 20. I mean, I didn't get 20 games because I already had some of them, but I got like 17 games for $20.
God, I am such a dick.
So fucking sweet, man. They had it rolling. And this has a little something to do with their Black Friday sales, too. This fresh catch is a little bit of a runoff for our listeners. But let me know, fisherman@talkingchip.com, what your computing platform of choice is, and you'll get a little gift from the fisherman if you're quick enough. So, that's going to do it for Fresh Catch. We're going to go on into Gamer Night announcements.
Hey, yay, hey, yay. all are invited to join in a talking ship gamer night.
All right, gamer night announcement time. And really not much to announce in terms of gamer nights, but we had a bad movie drinky on Saturday.
Oh, yeah, you did. Because the thing is, I showed up on Saturday. I was fucking there on time. But they're rehauling. There's only one hotel in all of Mahia, Texas, yeah, which is where I fucking work. This podunk town in the middle of fucking nowhere. Okay. Fucking nowhere. And that has internet. So I get on there. They are fucking working on their internet. They're overhauling their system. So I finally get online, and I can't jump into a party. I couldn't. I tried and tried and tried.
I know.
So frustrated. I know. There was multiple invites. I was talking with you and the Fisherwoman and Aladouche, and I was doing it over my phone because I could not get into a. I could not get into the party.
Yeah.
So frustrated. So what? But I finally, and I will say this, I ended up. I was able to jump into multiplayer matches. I had enough internet to do that.
Yeah.
So I jumped into multiplayer matches. I started playing a couple of games with CamDog.
Yeah.
Couple with him, couple against him.
Because we couldn't get him either. We were trying. Yeah, we couldn't get him either.
He jumped in. Like, I'd start a game, and suddenly he'd jump in on the opposite team and start shooting me,
yeah,
which really pissed me off. But Cam Dog, you're fucking good, man. I can't fucking talk shit.
Yeah.
So he kicks my ass. And then after a while, when all was said and done, alcohol burp. When all was said and done, he got in, and we basically just created a party. Like, he invited me in to the multiplayer game. So me, him, and Shavi Shaw played for, 45 minutes?
Yeah.
An hour? And that was fucking fantastic. It wasn't a party, but it was our own group. So when we were talking, like, everyone could hear us.
Yeah.
But no one, it seemed like every time we jumped into lobby, no one else had speakers. So it was great. It was just like us and other people listening to us. So fuck you guys if you were listening to us. Or unless you became new fans. And then I'm so glad to have you.
Yeah.
Welcome to the game.
Welcome
lounge.
To the game.
So that was basically how it goes. So hopefully, as far as gamer nights go, if I can get shit fixed,
yeah,
and up and running, I've got a new 720p HD TV, so I can be able to see shit better.
Yeah.
I want to do Modern Warfare Black Ops, or not Modern Warfare. God, I'm fucking drunk.
Nice.
Call of Duty Black Ops. And I want to play at – it'll be 9:15 Mountain Standard Time, talking ship time, simply because I have to get off work and get there and set my shit up. But that's what I want to play. If my internet is running, we'll create a party. We'll get going. If not, there's enough there for me to fucking just jump in. You guys can join me. We'll work it out.
You're talking Thursday or Saturday?
I'm talking Thursday. All right. So what – I don't know. What's the date? Because tomorrow's the 1st.
The 2nd.
So the 2nd. All right. Wow. Good math. God, you're fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. So the 2nd, 9:15 Mountain Standard Time, talking ship time, Call of Duty, Black Ops, multiplayer. We're probably going to play some just regular or hardcore deathmatch. Come on in. Shoot the Farva in the face.
Nice. See if I can get down on that myself. Yeah, I'll try and put another bad movie drinking together on Saturday. On the last Saturdays when we watched The Scorpion King 2. Which was,
I know, I saw you guys watching that. I'm like, I've never seen that. Fucking Randy Couture. The only thing I've seen him in was The Expendables, which is amazing, by the way.
No, he was horrible in this.
He was horrible in The Expendables too. But fucking Terry Crews, that big ass black dude.
Yeah.
Oh, he was fucking amazing in The Expendables.
Anyways, we watched Scorpion King 2, and then we watched Thanksgiving. Because
you did watch that,
our boy Blue Collar Gamer was supposed to be hosting it, but I never saw him online. So I was like,
"Well,
fuck it."
Well, for the record, I got online. I was there at fucking 10. I was there at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
I left work early because I wanted to fucking be there, and I called the motel saying, "Please make sure there's internet."
Yeah.
Now the internet wasn't fast enough for me to get into a party, but I tried. And y'all didn't show up to fucking 10:35. Like, CamDog's like, is there a party? Is there going to be a BMDD? And I'm like, fuck, I thought so. I guess not. Whatever. Man, I jerked off.
That's because you didn't look at the forums. We said, hey, we're going to be an hour late, but there's going to be like four of us. And it was me and Jamie and Aladouche and his girlfriend. And it was awesome.
So everyone's clear. So everyone's clear, Jamie is the Fisher woman, and I say that with quotes.
Sorry.
And he's a dude.
What?
He's a dude. Yeah, he's a dude.
He's a dude. Nice.
Yeah, his name is Jamie. He's a dude.
Nice. Thanks, man.
Please don't tell her I said that. I love her mac and cheese.
Dude, she's going to listen to the show. She listens to
it. Does she really?
Yeah, she listens to it every
Jamie,
week.
Jamie, you're fucking awesome. Thank you for the donuts. Please make me mac and cheese. I love
her
you.
Her whole family hates you. Her sister listens too.
Oh, does she really?
Yeah.
I fucking yelled at her one time. Fucking, was her name Nicole?
No.
What was her name? I forget.
Come on.
Fucking, Nicole's the only name coming to mind.
All right, then it was Nicole. Yep, there you go. You got it.
Was it really Nicole?
No, it wasn't Nicole.
God fucking damn it. You fucking set me up. Meredith, I love you. You're amazing. There you go. Keep doing that sign language shit.
Nice. At least you remember the important part. Yeah. So, but I will tell you that that was the first time, because Nerves got on. We actually watched a movie with Nerves for a little bit. It was the first time I'd ever done a party chat through the Kinect sensor.
Uh-huh. Like,
pretty impressed, I gotta say, of the features that Kinect offers. I wasn't expecting the chat, the actual usage of it as a mic, because we got four people at my house. We're not going to pass around headsets. I don't even have enough headsets.
Whoa. So, okay, Kinect works with fucking Netflix?
Yeah.
Okay, because, all right, here's the thing. My in-laws Wait.
It doesn't work with Netflix in the way that you want it to work with Netflix. It works as a party chat system in the general Xbox Live party chat. So you can talk to your party through Kinect. You can't wave your hand around and select Xbox.
No, that's fine. Yet. But the thing is, so if Netflix is playing, you can fucking talk to people through it.
Yeah. And
that's awesome. Party chat, because same thing. I bought the because when I went to fucking Best Buy, I bought the $300 package. That's the 4 GB Xbox with the Kinect.
Yeah, attaboy.
And I'm giving that to my in-laws.
Okay, great.
Now, they don't fucking game. They don't know shit about that, but they have Netflix. And part of the deal is they're in Alaska. I'm in Texas. They'll be able to play the game. You know, play games with my daughter.
Yeah.
They'll be able to do that. The Kinect chat.
Yeah, the video.
Which
the video
I tried
Kinect.
Out. Dude, have you tried that
no.
yet? Dude, I met Undead Dog's whole family.
No shit, that's great.
His boys are fucking awesome. They are awesome. They're so fucking hyper and cool.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to swear so much, Undead, when I'm talking about your kids, if you're listening to this. But, dude, your family is beautiful. You have a beautiful family.
There you go.
Congratulations. Keep plowing your wife. But I want to – so anyway, I'm going to give this to my in-laws on the thing that, look, I know you guys don't game, but it gives them an opportunity to do some interactive stuff with my daughter, be able to do – you know, the biggest thing I wanted them to do is be able to watch movies with her and feel like they're kind of interacting with her and, you know, that kind of thing. This is very exciting for me because I was worried about, no, they're going to need headsets, because I thought Kinect worked with Xbox. And me and Dave were bitching about this, not Kinect works with Xbox, Kinect worked with Netflix. And me and Dave were both like, I swear to God, they said that that's how it worked.
Yeah.
Like, you could say Kinect, or Xbox.
Yeah. Xbox, Netflix, or whatever. Yeah.
Thanks you. And it would work. And it doesn't.
Not yet.
And it works for ESPN and all this. Are they going to?
How could they not? I mean, are you kidding me?
They've got to.
Right?
But
it's
the thing
just
is,
their
okay,
Zune movie interface is the same thing as their Zune thing they've got going on.
So the thing is like, my wife was like, man, was that a good present? Maybe we should take it back and get them something else. Because if we can't watch movies together, then what's the point?
No, it's great.
You know? But that, you just seriously just made my
awesome.
Day.
Yeah, what it does is when someone else is talking, it backgrounds the speakers a little bit and actually plays their voice through the speakers for you. And then you can talk directly into the Kinect. And it was like, you know, we were cracking jokes and you could hear Nerves laughing and he was joking around with us too. It was working great. It was working great. What we did do farther though was, because my Kinect is set up by my speaker, we moved it down off of its ledge, down closer to the couch, because it was picking up a lot of the speaker noise.
Yeah.
And thinking that was our chat. But that's just something, you just pull it down, put it back up when you're done with the movie. It's great.
Well,
it was awesome.
Sadly, my media room does not have surround sound. And if you ever see my media room, you'll be like, seriously, why do you not have surround sound in here? You have fucking everything else.
Yeah.
I just – because I'm a Bose guy and I love like Bose, and so Bose, I don't know how people say it.
Sure.
But anyway, they just don't have what I wanted. You have to run it through a fucking router from my TV. My TV doesn't put all the shit out in one unit. Long story short, it's a pain in the ass. Anyway, so so I don't have that, but I put on my Christmas list for Triton headset, so hopefully I'm going to get one of those and be fucking awesome.
Yeah, it is pretty awesome. But yeah, that's what we did. And we'll probably do another Bad Movie Drinky on Saturday. We'll probably do another one. Just look for us on Saturday. Look for me on Saturday. Hey, hit me up. Maybe we'll play a game. Maybe we'll do a Bad Movie Drinky. I don't know. I'm not going to make anything official this week, because we've got to record another podcast this weekend, man.
Fridays? We're going to do it, record it Friday, put it out Sunday?
Yeah, that's fine.
We'll let everyone behind the scene a little bit?
Yeah, we'll put that as our plan. And
for the record, I'm roughly, I was estimating it here, I think I'm about anywhere between 5 and 6 shots deep.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's a good way to cut it off and then be alone for a long time, Farva.
Oh, no, hell, alone, God, no. No, my wife and child are sleeping. Dave will be waiting for me online.
Ooh,
and it'd be nice if another Dave was waiting for me online, and the three Daves could marry our little D's out and go and shoot the shit out of somebody in a little Modern Warfare.
All right. Okay. I'll take you up on that. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to get down and play some not Modern Warfare, some Black Ops. And
God, I'm retarded.
And so
I'm not okay. Again, if you have someone who's mentally challenged or mentally handicapped in your family, please understand. I'm drunk, and it's just my go-to word. It's been my go-to word since I was 8. I don't mean to personally offend you, and I realize it is a very serious condition, and it is nothing personal at you or your family. I work with these people, and I respect them and care for them.
I think we got to put an end to this longest gamer night announcement section fucking ever. And put it into the game and put it into the game launch because we're going to shoot some shit. So you know what that means, right?
No, I'm sorry. I'm drunk. What does it mean?
It means it's time to end the game launch. So we got to get down and play some video games.
Hey, thanks for showing up. Get the fuck out.